Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, it's Ben here, jumping in at the start of the episode to let you know I have a new podcast. It's called Tribe Check. It's about Survivor Australia. You know how I did Aria Talking to Me with Nox and Clicker I Barely Know Her with Nox and Tommy? Well, I'm doing that thing for Survivor. It's going to be a weekly episode rounding up the events of that week's Survivor episodes with me and Rosie. So if you want to listen to that, it's on Spotify and Apple and everywhere you can find good podcasts.
In Australia, Mr. Pokemon is Gavin Bust, National Marketing Head of Nintendo.
While Nintendo own the property, kids in their own mind, I think they believe that they own Pokemon.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me, as always...
Ben Vanell here. We're recording in the morning. It's a real work day for us today because we're dodging that heat.
Yeah.
As it is every day. The sun doesn't come up until the afternoon in the summer. Everyone knows that, including me, Adam Knox. Welcome, everybody, to the big show.
Yeah. It's the big show.
Welcome to the big show.
The big dance.
I feel all right today.
I'm not minding this earlier start.
Yeah.
We could always, I mean, sensible hour.
To be clear as well, normally we start at 11.
Yeah.
Which is
only an hour and a half later than. You know what? I thought that I was in for a real hell of a morning commute. You know, peak hour.
9:30 peak hour.
Well, I didn't leave the home at 9:30. I left home a bit before 9.
Yep.
And guess what? Streets are fucking empty.
Yeah.
No one out there.
Did you not hear? It's Avoid Ben Day.
Oh.
We didn't tell him shit. I'm sorry I blew it.
I don't care because I got here really quick and I had time to grab a coffee.
I would love to have that day. Avoid Adam Day?
Yeah.
Please.
I really think we should change the date of Avoid Ben Day.
Yeah.
It's pretty disrespectful when you think about it.
Let's make it Friday this week.
I had to drive somewhere yesterday morning at 6 a.m. And, Ooh. Oh, brother, it was awesome. Sort of. You know, still dark, streets completely empty.
Where is everyone?
I'm up every morning real early to make a trek. I love it too.
Yeah.
I get a lot of the joggers and the dog walkers and that sort of stuff. And I'm trying to clothesline them as they walk past.
Yeah.
Keep them on their toes. Yep. It's helping them out. Like Rocky has to box while he's running.
Good for their lateral movement.
Yeah. I'm doing it to the dogs as well. I reckon I'm friends with the magpies.
Really?
Who live near where I live. Because they do recognize people.
Okay.
Sure,
magpies and like crows and stuff. Catalog people, recognize faces,
right.
Hold grudges.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm walking past them, I'm like, hey, buddy, what's up, magpie? And I don't know what I'm saying. And they're like, shit, that's R2-D2. And that's a pretty nice feeling.
That's cool.
I've never been swooped, I will say. It's a big thing in Melbourne that, you know, I think it's when they're babies, when they've got fresh babies. Yeah.
The
mothers and fathers are very protective of their eggs and their babies.
All the time. I saw a kid once. I was driving along. You know the little like triangles that you get in between sort of two lanes, like at the side of a roundabout with grass on it?
Oh, yeah.
On the ground. He was on that for some reason.
A traffic island?
Yeah.
Yes.
He had a backpack like swung around to his front side and he was lying on his back kicking in the air at this magpie who was swooping down at him again and again. And I kept driving. I don't know how he got out of that situation. If I drive past again, there'll be a pile of bones there with a backpack underneath.
I got swooped as a child, and it was such a traumatic experience that even just hearing that story all these years later made me quite uncomfortable.
I've had a ton of swoopings.
I was like a little kid. I was in a playground.
Yeah,
I was like on a.
I'm friends with them now, but they used to.
I was on a long drive with my parents somewhere. Stopped off. I'm having to go on the playground, and I guess my parents
having
were just like
having a.
My parents were in the car. I guess they were like looking at the Melways to work out where we were going next or something, sure. And not really paying attention. And I was getting swooped. And what it looked as like to me was that my parents were just doing nothing to step in. And I really felt like I was being like sacrificed or that this was some kind of ritual that my parents were just allowing this to happen. So there were so many like deep levels of like the actual like fear and pain of the magpie, the betrayal of what my family was putting me through. It was a horrible
what
experience.
What a dramatic child.
I've been abandoned.
There's a bird near me.
But when you're like, when you're swatting and it's not doing anything, yeah, like right. You really just are in this moment of like, I think I'm going to die here. There's nothing I can do.
They always used to say to put eyes on the back of your helmet.
Well, you do see that a lot in Melbourne. You see a lot of like, cyclists with the
like cable ties poking up, you know. So
cable ties?
Yeah, you haven't seen the like a person wearing a bike helmet and it's just 50 cable ties.
Oh, with
like
spikes that are on the top of a fence.
Yes. Yeah.
Wear a barbed wire hat to protect yourself from claws that won't hit you.
That's to stop homeless magpies from going to sleep on top of their helmet.
Awful infrastructure. They should just let the magpies sleep where they need. Hey, you know what magpies would love?
Mm.
A video game about worms. They'd love Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
They'd love Worms.
Yes.
They'd love Worms Armageddon.
Mm.
They'd stop liking the 3D ones as much.
Yeah. But hey, Worms WMD, a return to form.
Yeah. I don't remember that one. Worms World Party, that was my where I ended.
Mm-hmm.
Those are video games, which I'm here to talk about.
Featuring Worms.
Yeah.
Worms was the hit of the schoolyard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, everyone had their little free copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
You could link up and play people on their computer.
It was exactly in sleepover era for me. And there were a number of nights where we stayed up all night playing Worms, dude.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then someone's disappointed dad in the morning would see us all exhausted with PlayStation controllers in our hand and go, God, I wish I had footy kids. But they didn't. But it's speaking of olden days things, I thought we could talk because Rock Band 4 is putting out its last DLC on the 25th, which is today.
Holy shit.
Which Rock Band or Guitar Hero, the whole time they've been coming out since 2005, they've had basically constant releases of the games. And then since Rock Band has existed of like, I think there's been little gaps in between, but pretty much consistent DLC coming. So it's
I did not realize this.
An already pretty much over era, but this is the proper final...
The final
dead.
Curtain call.
Everyone can celebrate in the streets.
The final encore.
Yeah. That's what they're calling it, I think. I think it's called the final encore DLC, possibly.
Okay. I feel like
I don't know what's in it.
I've got a hypothesis. I feel like any cash converters in the country that you walk past, you will see a plastic Guitar Hero guitar in the window.
I think
it's illegal to own a cash converter and not have a Guitar Hero guitar in the window.
That some of them can be kind of pricey now on the sort of secondhand market. I remember
because I don't make them new anymore. I remember that era of like the peripheral game where, God, it must have been hell to work at like a JB or an, you know, just having to make the shelf space for this like box that's just that's like the size of a TV.
Because then at some point they're like, also a full drum kit. And
you're
like, oh, well, fucking, we only have one shop.
God, I always wanted the drum kits so badly.
They were so cool.
Yeah.
The point that game got to, like Rock Band 3, I think, was the point where you could plug in like a MIDI keyboard.
Oh,
even.
Right.
And like, there's all sorts of.
And there was the DJ one.
DJ Hero. all really cool shit. And they did that sort of second go at it with Guitar Hero Live that had the six keys on like the top and bottom parts of the fret, so only three down but like two rows. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't do so well, and it was like there was like a channel that was sort of like an MTV channel that was playing just a constant rotation of songs.
Yes. Oh, that's cool.
And that was sort of free or something, or there was a subscription to that.
Maybe.
Rock Band kept doing the same thing. And they've been putting out DLC this whole fucking time, which is nuts. It's wrapping up, and that era is fully over now, which is sad. That was such a fun time. I loved all of those games. You can still play Clone Hero. I think I've talked about
that on here
before. That is a great way to... That's the modern thing.
Mm.
Clone Hero, people make their own custom things. It's on the PC. You can connect every instrument to that, I'm fairly certain. I might be wrong. Don't assassinate me.
I feel like we talked about it and someone sort of sent in, like, you can get this adapter.
I got all that shit.
Right.
Or at least I got a Xbox 360 like adapter thing for the guitar, and it's fucking sick. And Glory Hero's great, and I don't know how legal it is, but who gives a shit?
For people of our generation, it's such a core memory of Guitar Hero, maybe 3, I think.
Right.
Just jamming out with Tom Morello, nailing that solo on easy mode, just feeling like an absolute god on the axe.
Guitar Hero 2 was the first one I got because I played Guitar Hero 1 at a party in whenever that was. And it was new. That was the first time I ever played Guitar Hero. Same night as my first kiss.
Wow. Uh-huh. Any correlation between the two?
No,
first
I wish there
kiss
was.
As a result of how good you were doing at Guitar
I could lie
Hero
and pretend that I fucking Marty McFly'd the whole party and like played Johnny.
Guitar Hero 2 didn't come out last year.
Playing the guitar so well, and then everyone's like shocked by it. But I'm like, hey, your kids are going to not buy that anymore and they're going to cancel all the DLC.
We go back and we see what actually happened and it's just Adam kissing the screen while the like 3D render of fucking Santana is on the screen. It's a hot one, all right.
Yeah, Guitar Hero, your Mario Kart, lots of those were the party games for a long, long time.
Well, Guitar Hero, there hasn't been something like it in such a long time, I think, where you can put it in. You can put anyone in front of it, someone who has absolutely zero knowledge of games, and it's all there. You hand them the thing. It's like, hey, the buttons come up, and you just push them. You don't need to give them like a, you know, even I feel like something like Mario Kart on the Switch. If you've got someone who's like not played any video games, you're still having to be like, oh, so this button is the shoot, and then this one is like you do a little, you know, there's like a little bit of context that you have to give that they're probably not going to get straight away. But Guitar is just like, there you go.
Yeah. And the first Guitar Hero games were out before the Wii was out, which like the Wii and Wii Sports and all of that was a very big like, oh, anyone can do this.
Yes.
So it really felt unique having, it was like Guitar Hero and like SingStar was on the PS2 around that time.
Yeah. Right.
And like Buzz and shit like that were like the accessible party games. That I guess like Just Dance is still around.
Just Dance is probably the closest thing to just like you can hand this controller to any. But it's like
people are a lot more able to get into like Among Us. A bunch of people played that during the lockdowns
and like the Jackbox games. Anything
Overcooked,
where it's just like a phone.
Even but yeah, Paul went out for Guitar Hero. Diddly diddly diddle.
Yeah. We all got to smash our Guitar Hero guitars on the ground.
I won't. They're worth something now.
I mean, think about all the like,
I'd rather smash a real guitar.
Plastic gaming peripherals that are just in landfill now.
Yeah.
Give them to me. I'll play them behind my head with my teeth and shit. I love
it's
that
a shame,
shit.
Even the, because I loved Fuser, which came out three or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And you didn't need anything for it. But I guess it just didn't do well enough for them to be able to keep paying the licensing fees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, we're taking it all off.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea as like a platform for releasing songs. You know what I mean? If you kept it, it's crazy for it to end because if you just kept it going and it's like, hey, next Friday, our new single's coming out. It's going to be on Spotify. It's going to be on Apple Music. It's also going to be in Rock Band.
It's just got to be that, the returns on it don't make sense anymore for how much you have to give them and upkeep it and everything. So I guess you've got like Beat Saber is the closest
thing. Probably,
I guess that is. And a VR game is probably the closest thing to what I was saying. You can put anyone in front of it and just go like, you just kind of move your hands around.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And in terms of like music games like that, I think that there's still some version of Rocksmith that's around that's a little bit more of the like.
That might have been what I was thinking
that's
of.
That's the one
before.
I've got. Someone who I'm sure listens to this came up to me after a show in Tasmania and gave me the cord. It's like USB on one end guitar jack on the other and a little USB stick that had, Rocksmith.
The game and all
it,
the
cracked version of it.
Yeah.
This person broke the law and I immediately went to the police.
The version that was like a funny website in 2008 but then quickly declined.
A list of slightly odd things that happened. Well, you mentioned Clone Hero before.
Mm-hmm.
There's a game we're going to talk about this week that may as well be titled Clone Hero.
Yeah.
They've ripped off everything else. They may as well have ripped off the title as well.
it is one of the most bizarre things I've seen happen in video game news world for quite some time. This is PAL World.
We're so close to, in talking about this, sounding like the news snippets that we use to intro the show. You may be familiar with Pokemon.
They're saying your granddaddy's Pokemon, which would have been like Transformers, I guess, or what was Pokemon before Pokemon?
Yeah, that's
Garbage Pail Kids.
Beanie Babies.
Yeah. Pal World, you've probably seen or heard about. It has taken off in a way that is confusing and surprising, but also does make sense because people love Pokemon and people haven't been happy with the output of the Pokemon games for ages. Here comes a company who is making a really blatant fake Pokemon game that is also the survival type of game that is very popular at the moment.
Yeah.
This is such a like a butterfly's wings game where like if Game Freak thought about things even just a little bit differently, then this game would not exist. This game is so close to like not needing to exist.
Right.
You know, if they had have put the ideas of Arceus and Scarlet and Violet together and executed them better, then...
that's a type of Pokemon.
That's a Pokemon.
Then, they would have just... You know what I mean? Like, they are so close to having made this game themselves that they just left an opening for someone else to just go, all right, well, we'll just do it.
And there are elements to it that are, like, also stolen from other stuff. So,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
Game Freak may not have been as bold as to steal, like, you know, well, to chuck in the climbing mechanic from Breath of the Wild and then like a bunch of Animal Crossing-esque stuff.
It's like construction things that are similar to like Ark and things like
Rust
that.
And it
is very a game built on a blueprint of list the 7 most popular video games right now and mash them together.
Mm-hmm. It's got I think the kind of headline of it that got it a lot of attention sort of out of the gate was it's Pokemon with guns.
Right.
I guess
GTA Online is the other big thing as well, which is like, you know, big multiplayer open world gun stuff.
It is a game that is like on a subjective level at least completely devoid of creativity in a way, but also not in a much more egregious way than tons of games.
Yeah.
So and it's copping a lot of flack in a way that like I kind of agree with, but then I'm a bit like, "Well, why is this
By the way, we should say we played this. You can see a video of us playing through this together.
I have since played a few more hours of it.
Right.
But yeah, if you're interested in checking that out, it's on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Go have a look at that. I hated playing this. I think it is more egregious than a lot of the other examples.
Fair enough.
I don't mind about the mechanics of it. I've liked plenty of other games that, like, we talk about this a lot, that the idea of just reusing a format does not seem to be an issue in the world of video games. I totally don't mind that. I think it's a neat idea to kind of like combine these elements together. I just think it looks so cheap and shitty because the design, specifically my issue is the design of the creatures in this game is the same. They literally have just not even tried to put their own spin on it, put their own flavor on it, and to me that just makes it look cheap. It looks like someone's school project where they've just gone, well, obviously I don't have the resources and the time and the technical prowess to like make my own thing, so I'll just kind of like use a Meowth and I'll use a whatever. Like they just look the same, and it's like, to me, it's a missed opportunity to have put a bit of a coat of paint on it that feels unique and like its own thing. I kind of just felt like I was playing a cheap mod of a Pokemon game.
It does have a bit of that vibe of like, you know, you get those like mobile games that are called like Car Grand Steel or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of got that. It reminds me heaps of Flappy Bird because it's massively taken off of this thing that is sort of like, well, this is like not a new idea, any of this. It's using the pipes from Super Mario.
Right.
There's something about it where people are just like, yep, that's the thing we wanted out of all of these things.
Yeah.
They've by putting it on a spreadsheet or whatever, and I don't know how they developed it, but that's the vibe that the game gives across. They have delivered what people are looking for out of this like manufactured cheeseburger that they've made.
Yeah.
It's hitting the right taste buds.
Because also just ripping off a couple of formats and sort of putting them together isn't necessarily going to work and make an engaging game. And I kind of think that essentially like what's the bones of this, I like and I'm into the idea of. I just like, and it's not like it's just easy to get those things to all work together. And I think they've done a good job of that. Mm-hmm. I just wish that it looked and felt different. It's specific
to the designs of the Pokemon in particular. And I keep calling them Pokemon and shit. But, and not as a like little silly jab or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
I am genuinely just thinking of it that way because it is so much in that space.
And there's been Pokemon clones for as long as Pokemon has existed. Yes. Almost immediately. Yeah. Digimon, Yo-Kai Watch, there was, I don't know if it ever came out in the West, but there was a Game Boy Color game called Ropopon that was like, basically these things are all the same thing.
There's a ton of low rent ones that you don't really hear about too, that like there was this interesting thing that like the former like head lawyer for Nintendo of America spoke about it for some reason. He was there, I think, like top lawyer until 2020 or something. And he was like, I'm so surprised Nintendo hasn't done something about this. This reminds me of every knockoff Pokemon thing we had to deal with for the whole time I was there.
Yeah.
And all this stuff like that. Someone made immediately a Pokemon mod for it.
Yeah.
So funny to see the comparison screenshots and like have to kind of squint to.
Yeah.
Because there's other stuff as well. Sorry to like, but.
With that Pokemon mod, that person did get.
They got
targeted
struck
by Nintendo.
Nintendo contacted them right away because they were literally using Pokemon. Yes. Mm. But there's stuff that people have, and nothing is like the company itself, who I fucking wish I could remember the name of.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about that. But
10 Tricks Point Never?
I think it's not that.
Okay.
They
would have been an interesting left turn for them.
Have been very... like defending against every claim against them, which is like the AI generated stuff. Right. They're like, no, we didn't do that.
Right, right.
And people have just been saying that because it does look like it, but they've been saying no. And like their CEO in the past has done a lot of like, I love generative AI, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But like every fucking CEO does. That's the big just like happy word at the moment.
It's the big happy word.
What's the word?
Buzzword?
Buzzword.
Buzzword. I'm going to go with happy word from now on.
There are models from the game of the PALs that people have taken out and gotten models from Pokemon games and overlaid them with each other. And like the way that they line up, they're different and there's differences, but like the sort of, there are parts of the skeletons of them that are identical in a way that like people involved with 3D modeling have been arguing about, going like, this is literally impossible. Or some people going, I could see it happening.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like you can put from those Pokemon clones from back in the day, and even there's more recent ones like Cassette Beasts, and I think Temtem is another one.
Yes.
Where you can look at a Pokemon and a Digimon and a Yo-Kai Watch character like all side by side, and I think generally go, yeah, they all look distinct from one another.
Right,
they
similar, like, but they, not the same person made them.
Yeah, they belong in their own respective worlds, whereas like... Yeah, I think you could do like a Coke Pepsi challenge with some of the designs from this and some of the designs from the most recent Pokemon and show them to someone who had not spent a lot of time in either game, and they would not be able to tell them apart.
There's one that looks a ton like Eevee that's called like Cribben or something.
Cremens?
I think it's Cremens.
It was the worst name that I've ever heard, yeah.
Because like it just even from a artistic standpoint, it's a fun... It's such a wasted opportunity because it's such a fun design challenge to go, you've got these worlds of all these little creatures and you're going to have these different ecosystems and like think about little designs and it's
elements
like...
Elements to
if
them.
If you're an artist, it's like a fun project to sit down and get to go and get to like make up your own whole world. And obviously like art is all inspired by other stuff and I like art that wears its influences on its sleeves. But yeah, my issue with this is just purely that I don't care about the ripping off of the format or any of that stuff. It is just purely an aesthetic thing that for me makes it hard to care about, is just that it just looks lazy.
Yeah, because like we all love Cuphead, and that is, there is a direct line from that to 1920s, 1930s Disney cartoons and pre Looney Tunes, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, but they hand drew all of it. It is not like literally copied. Whereas this, there is no seemingly like artistic passion.
It doesn't feel callous. I mean, Cuphead is like it's a love letter to that era of animation, and it's like, let's imagine that this it was a little cartoon that existed back then. But this just is, this is, even if it had a bit more interesting design to it, the genesis of it would still be, oh, let's make this game that they're never going to make.
So then the artist who was at one point the one person doing all of these and making too many of them, was overworked, has been on Twitter being like, hey, I tried really hard. And then they brought someone else on and they did some other stuff or something. So like it's weird to have this thing that like if everyone is being honest, which is how I assume the world always is, then it's these people who just haven't got that spark there in this for like your tastes and whatever.
Right. Yeah,
or it does seem like just it's so like calculated and cold and like, but then it's really working. And the thing is, the game underneath it is pretty fun. I don't know what it is about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's that it kind of reminds me a bit of like Cult of the Lamb, which was a game that I loved, which wasn't. Sure. I mean, the originality of that game was the fact that it was merging these two elements together. But those elements, set on their own, were just basically ripped from other formats. But it was the way that they coalesced and the style over the top of it.
Exactly, the style over the top, which was clearly so thought out and lovingly crafted by a team of artists.
But it's that loop of, building up your base and going out and catching these little monsters. And like the other thing is that it feels like this game has blown up way bigger than they were maybe expecting. So,
way bigger than anyone expected, too, because like Epic... It's on the Epic Store as well, I guess. We're having to like, maybe it's because it's an Unreal Engine game. I don't mention that.
Right.
Well, like having to have midnight meetings of suddenly increasing load capacities for some element of it. And like, it's beaten like Counter-Strike and shit on Steam for concurrent players.
I think I read this morning, third highest ever concurrent on Steam, which is insane.
It's bananas how this thing's doing.
Best case scenario for how it's kind of taken off to me would be, because it's also worth pointing out, it is still in early access. So now that they've got, you know, more money, potentially more resources, if they, you know, hopefully they can work on it and, you know, have more manpower to scrub out some of those bits that are a bit egregiously, you know, if it developed into something that had a bit more of its own flavor and personality over time. I could see that happening.
They're
now
introducing,
that they've got a bit more like,
for sure,
that guy saying he's overworked. Well, now they can hire a full team of people to work on these designs.
Right. If they do it properly.
They're going to introduce characters called Bash Betchum and Croc and Bisty and...
Greekachu. He's here. Don't do his voice.
Oh, I was about to. I was tempted.
It's a really weird one because, like, I agree that, like, aesthetically, well, I don't have as strong of a negative reaction to it, but it's not. It's so blatant,
right?
But it also is so of the type of games that have been made within the last sort of 5 to 10 years.
Yeah,
of, like. This is just this other thing. Like, what's that one that was Gang Beasts, but Animal Party or something?
Oh, yeah, Party
Animals.
So close. In the Northern Hemisphere, that would have made sense. But, like, it's not that far off of those marks
that
100%. People didn't have a problem with.
I had a problem with Party Animals.
I totally agree. I'm surprised to see this much. Maybe it's just because of the size of it, the conversation expands.
I think it's a tipping point. It's like
it could be that
we're coming to grips with being in an era of stuff being so overly remade, rebooted, remixed. A lot of stuff is being mashed up, and that is what most of culture seems to be. Certainly popular culture has gravitated towards this stuff, like nostalgic stuff or stuff that is cobbled together from other pieces.
And
has had a problem with that.
And then most people don't have a problem with this one too.
Right, yeah.
And probably a big part of the audience would be people who played a Pokemon game back in the day, haven't kept up with them, maybe don't own a Switch or didn't bother to engage with Scarlet and Violet. And so this is like tapping into like what they remember and what they always like wanted a Pokemon game to be like when they were 10. And to be clear, I'm not saying like, oh, these people should be in jail. This is wrong that this has happened. I don't really like care all that much about the like blatant sort of
the legalities
lack
of it.
Creativity of it. It just makes it hard for me to like. As soon as I turned it on, I was like, I don't care about this.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm playing just a tech demo thing. I can't get hooked on it.
That's like the other thing is that you are at this point. It is day one of early access was a week ago or whatever. So like, it's just a such a bizarre sudden thing, and like it is very streamer friendly and that sort of thing. So it kind of makes sense that it's popped off in this way, and people are just fucking rabid about Pokemon.
I do kind of love that in a weird way. I love that we get to talk about this. Like, I love that it's taken off the way that it has. It's so interesting.
Pokemon is such a good, like, Pokemon Go was actual Pokemon, obviously, but it's such an idea that we were poo-pooing at the time. And the poo ended up on our egg.
Yep.
Because, like, people love Pokemon shit.
Yeah.
It's great to have a little pet, a little critter hanging around.
Yeah. That's why a lot of those are, like, all of those clones, they've all got their fans. They've all got their, like, I've been meaning to get around to Cassette Beasts for a while. People really like that game. But yeah, even the ones that have found their own little base of people that really like them, none of them has gotten close to catching on in the same way. Maybe Digimon and Yo-Kai Watch, the fact, mostly in Japan, I think.
Like the mainline Pokemon games are probably at their lowest point in terms of reception.
Yep.
And mixed with this is doing the type of game that people love at the moment, the crafting world game.
Yeah, yeah. There is an element of it being almost like the ultimate video game you imagine when you were 12, right?
And it sort of is, that is almost the level that I'm appreciating it on. Like, I'm finding myself just like weirdly into it.
Mm. I think that's the thing about it too that annoys me is that like it's sort of the game that Arceus could have been if Game Freak cared a little more and if the Switch was more powerful. And so just going into it, it's like, ah, god damn it.
Because it's kind of what you're doing, like you go out and you catch these little pals. You've got pal spheres, thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pal ball is too close.
That would have been a legal thing.
Did Nintendo trademark ball?
You know what's annoying though? They're not spheres. They've got points on the top and the bottom. Mm. So but anyway, I don't know what shape that makes it, but pal crecadecahedron.
Everyone's got their beef with this game.
You're going around.
They're not fucking spheres.
You can kill these Pokemon. You can capture them.
You can beat them up with your fists.
In fact, in the beginning, you have to beat them up with your fists. Yeah.
You're mining and chopping trees and doing all of that. And then at some point, you can sort of build your base up so that you've got your pals automating some of those tasks and working for you. And their sanity meter will drop if they're having to work for too long. So you put them in a hop spring and then they're
You keep them in the balls, but then you also have to make beds for them to sleep in, which is like, if what are they doing when they're in the balls?
If they're in the computer, I think they're just in a suspended animation state.
So yeah, there's kind of that Factorio element of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, again, these are all very Moorish game styles. And like, yeah, we should say as well, like our listeners have been like letting us know that what they think of it, which is almost entirely positive. People are
I've seen a bit of both, and
I've seen some people be like, it's just fucking like, it's not even like, it's just an Unreal 5 game with a bunch of fucking grass and a bunch of copied Pokemon, like, so there is that. But other people have been saying like, yeah, me and my friends played it all weekend and like I love it. I'm addicted to playing it.
The multiplayer is a bit weird at the moment where like you kind of enter someone else's world and you have to make a new it's on Game Pass, but that version is out of date and like noticeably behind when you play the Steam version, which is the one I've been playing. It's fascinating. I don't know how much I'll keep looking at it, but it's going to be a going concern for some time.
Yeah, I am interested to see, what they do with it longer term as they get, as they now have more resources to put into it than they would have. And with it taking off more, is under a higher level of scrutiny probably than they ever thought it would be.
I agree. If they can goosey it up a little bit, there's something in there. Whatever they've managed to make feel right about the sort of loop of the farming and the crafting and the putting together, because it's like a Facebook Farmville thing, some bottom level that all of those types of resource survival games have held me at arm's length because of, and this one, for whatever, there's something snappy about it.
Yeah, it was even the little bit that we did. We
did not understand the game, and like we're not doing it properly.
No, we certainly weren't doing the combat properly. But we kind of fucked around in this opening area, and then got up to like basically your first objective, which is to get to this tower and then do a boss fight. Even just the little bit of like walking around there, and again, the like the promise of a 3D open world Pokemon game, which is like you're in this world that feels believably populated, and you are in this wild area where you. You know, you come around a corner and there's these ones playing in the water and these ones are off there gathering wood. It's like, it's cool. It's neat.
Flying around on the back of whatever a Pidgeot is not in this.
A Nightwing?
Yeah, that's it. And it was cool. I don't know, man. They've got something there. It'll be really interesting to see.
It is funny, yeah. So it's still in early access. In a year's time or a year and a half's time, this could be Game of the Year, or this could be a a landmark legal case in plagiarism, or like a, some kind of scam.
Also, the fact that this is happening like in January, it could even be that like when we're doing our year end wrap up, we're like, oh, was that this year? Flash in the pan.
It could be that. I would be surprised if it went away that. But
it could be even the blueprint for another game that. Again, takes all these styles and does it in a less, in a more polished way. Like,
which, if Nintendo also does or doesn't take any sort of legal action, which I have no idea if they're within their rights to, either way, this is a fucking pull your finger out moment for them and for Game Freak.
Yeah, yeah.
To like, people really want Pokemon to be as good as a lower budget early access game.
Yeah, I would hope that that's the takeaway for them. Yeah. Which weirdly too, like, so not that I haven't played that much. Like, I did the intro stuff on my own and then played it for the video with you guys. But the big headline of it being Pokemon with guns, I thought was going to be the thing that I hated about it the most. Like, even just looking at the pictures, I'm like, oh, that looks lame. It's like a Pikachu holding an Uzi. Like, this just looks so like a clickbaity game. I've seen no evidence like that. You know what I mean? I haven't really seen that side of it really being talked about at all.
Yeah, right. Mm. You build them guns later on and there's a bunch of different weapons. It's weird.
Yeah.
we'll see that as it develops.
Yeah.
Speaking of development, two games that are under development that were in an Xbox showcase thing. There were amongst five games. I don't remember what the others were. There was like a city builder. There was Hellblade. And I think another one they showed some of.
Was Anno
I don't feel like it was Anno. It was something else, but I don't actually remember.
I'll look at it.
But there are a few that they showed in this showcase. The two most interesting to us of which were a proper look at Avowed.
Yep.
For the first time, really.
Yep.
That's the Obsidian game that is meant to be coming out this year, I think they said. That is an Elder Scrolls type of game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not generally my sort of speed, but it did look, it looked cool.
It looked all right.
It looked like it was doing what it was doing pretty well.
It was colorful. It was funny that, you know, they were talking underneath it going like, and this isn't just combat where you're aimlessly swinging your sword. You're having to make tactical decisions, blah, blah, blah. Underneath footage of someone pretty aimlessly swinging their sword at a goblin.
So this is, dated for fall 2024.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Northern Hemisphere. So for us, that's like what? September, October, November?
Yep.
Nice and colourful looking.
Yeah, I'm into this. Like, I loved The Outer Worlds. I'm a big fan of Obsidian, generally speaking.
Yep.
You know, New Vegas, all that shit they did. So
looked very exactly what this type of game is, especially after having played Starfield recently enough. Like, you're framing someone's face in the middle of your screen and talking to them, and they're saying like, oh man, just before you got here, someone went down that mine. I don't know if they're in there or whatever it was. Yeah. Like,
a wizard took my spaceship.
You got to find, there's a Pikachu, sorry, a Dekachu down there. Got to find it. It looked okay, and it looked like what you would expect Obsidian to be doing.
Yeah.
And then a big surprise to me, even though it is what I would expect having seen it now, Machine Games, who are the developers of Wolfenstein, the recent ones, to be doing. There's a new Indiana Jones game that we kind of knew about. We've seen it now, and it's like a first-person beat-em-up Indiana Jones game.
Yeah.
I think there's also third-person elements in it.
You're like climbing up a pipe and shit like that, it kind of goes out into third. Right. A lot of it is swipping your whip in first-person, punching Nazis in first-person.
Doing some puzzles. Yeah.
You know what my main thought watching this trailer was like? Oh, yeah, it has been a while since there was an Uncharted game. This looks fun.
I like that they're differentiating it a little bit with that first person sort of perspective on it. And it looks very like grounded and thick. You know what I mean? Like it looked good for one thing. Like,
I mean, that's what like I feel similarly about the Wolfenstein games. Their design and their gameplay, it's very punchy and powerful.
The faces and shit just looked like people's faces talking to you.
And they, I've always found, and I'd never really got through, was it the New Colossus was the second major sequel or that they did, the gameplay was a bit less enjoyable compared to that previous one, but the storytelling, the cinematics and the world building has always been a real strength of theirs.
It feels like the issue with the movies recently has been people are like, I don't want to see Indy getting old. And well, welcome to video games.
This one
he's young again, baby.
Totally. Yeah. Set between Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade, which is like Indy at his peak. This is him firing on all cylinders, punching. Again, the number of swastikas Machine Games has had to draw as a development studio. There's
is that
more
why they were chosen?
Like, I guess so.
We got all the assets.
Yeah, we've kind of been able to do this for a while.
Yeah.
Troy Baker.
Yeah, so the faces gave less uncanny valley than the voices. The main one of which is Troy Baker doing a Harrison Ford impression that didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
It sounded odd. I mean, he's not the same person with the same voice box, so of course it's not the same, but there was something just off enough about it that I was like, oh.
Yeah. It didn't really register to me.
I reckon an hour into the game it will feel normal.
Almost right? So. Like, yeah.
I have to say, I previously thought that the Dial of Destiny was the worst subtitle you could have for something, but welcome to The Great Circle.
Indiana Jones and The Great Circle.
That's how do you go from Temple of Doom, Raiders of the Lost Ark to Dial of Destiny and The Great Circle?
I know that the words like great and awesome technically do mean like splendid beyond measure. It doesn't translate to that in this title.
No.
The Great Circle
sounds
like... Once
you've got circle in there.
You know when someone can do that thing where they stand next to a whiteboard and like whip their arm around real quick to draw a perfect circle?
Oh, yeah,
You ever seen someone do that?
Yeah.
It sounds like this is the game of Indiana Jones doing that in his class.
And then
someone blinks with fuck me written on their eyelids or whatever they had in that movie.
But you know what? Switch them around. The Great Dial... And the Circle of Destiny.
Great Dial sounds like a Pizza Hut ad or something where a friend's dial Pizza Hut and they're like,
I
want
to see Indy go to Pizza Hut.
The Circle of Destiny is bad as well because Circle is just a nothing word.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, Circle's got to be out.
They call it a sphere.
I'd call it, yeah.
The Great Sphere.
The pal of the Great Pal.
Yeah.
I was surprised by this looking as cool to me as it did.
You're whipping people and then you're whipping them and pulling them towards you and just... punching them in the face. Ugh. I liked how they'd synced up the like punching I was like already, I was already going like, this looks cool. And then the indie theme kicked in and I was like, oh, that's right. There's the Indiana Jones theme music is going to be in this goddamn game.
The, so they show, there's like a cut together trailer and they showed some extra stuff in the like press conference thing. And it really had the tone. Like there was a bit where they were describing the sort of setup and early on Indy's at his school and someone's like broken into the museum part of the school or whatever late at night and he's in there in his professor outfit being like, hey, you can't be in here. Get me to do it.
He's in his he's in his Clark Kent mode.
He's in Clark Kent mode and this dude stands up, you know, to be really tall and Indy's like, oh, who are you? And like it had the like the sort of funny shot of the guy rising up real big and then Indy like having to square up for a fight that he shouldn't be able to win.
Yep.
It looked exactly that Indiana Jones.
Classic Spielbergian sort of shit.
It's
how
fully
often
burnt.
Do you think they're hitting you with that theme in the game? Is it title screen only? Are we getting it? It's always like a great moment in the Zelda games how they kind of hold it back for a little bit and then like you walk out into a big field and you hear da-na-na-na-na-na-na. It's like, yes.
There'll be one bit.
I want it on a loop for the entire game.
There'll be an intro that's like action to begin with.
Yeah.
And it'll play right at the end of that. It'll be the same as Raiders.
A cold open. Yeah, absolutely.
Go back to that. And then it'll play at one big point in the middle and then at the end. And there'll be a slow version that plays a few times throughout.
Yeah. Because I feel like, mate, was it in, was the, because I love the Uncharted theme. It's probably the best one.
If there's a world map, I'm sorry, but I just have to, with the plain red line thing that you could go between like fucking Quackshot.
Yeah,
yeah.
I really do want to be able to select in the options menu to just have that theme playing repeatedly throughout the entire game. Mode, yeah. Well, yeah, I never want it off.
I feel like it's in Uncharted, they play the Uncharted theme constantly.
Less, too little in 4.
Yeah.
I remember that being something where I was like, what are you doing?
It might be two and three. Right. But I also was like, it also plays over the menu. So was I just on the menu a lot?
I think it was just a very menu-heavy theme.
Yeah.
You know, they're always playing like the DVD menu theme when you watch when you watch Godfather.
So there was they showed some more Hellblade 2, which is out in May.
Mm-hmm.
Visions of Mana, which is a brand new Mana game.
Right. Yep.
That's we saw a bit of
which they showed off in the Game Awards.
Cool. Don't have anything new to say about that. Personally, you guys got anything to contribute? No. Ara was the game.
Oh, right.
Ara, History Untold.
Isn't that DJ game? Oh, no, that's Ara.
Oh, yes.
Ba-ba-da-ba, ba-ba-da.
So, yeah, this is the grand strategy game.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that's it. That's it.
Yeah, it was just 5 games.
Yeah.
20 something minutes, I think, maybe, or maybe 40 something minutes.
I feel like
fun.
I was maybe skeptical about indie when they first kind of said that they were doing it, but I'm pumped. It looks cool.
It looks cool. I don't think it'll be the best fucking thing in the world or whatever, but
I do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good luck.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, when was this launching?
This year. It's right. They said this year. I don't know when. Towards the end, I assume.
You know what? I can just reopen the webpage. I was just
Look at this guy.
You know what else is coming this year in a matter of tomorrow? Is Like a Dragon out tomorrow? I think it is.
You better believe it.
Oh,
what better way to celebrate Australia Day than hitting the beach with Ichiban and his crew?
Do you think that you'll play it once or twice?
I think I'll play it 3 times.
Well, then you might want to invest in the weird deluxe edition that they have that every game has now. But I think this must be the first time that someone's done this. Behind that deluxe upgrade paywall is the new game plus mode for Yakuza 8.
Yeah.
Infinite Wealth.
Yeah.
Mm.
So presumably if you buy the standard version, you can play the game and then you can start a new game and play it again.
Yes.
But New Game Plus, obviously, generally speaking, is starting a new playthrough with the same character, the same save file, a lot of the abilities that you already had.
They've got some name for it in this one as well. That's like Second Adventure or something.
Right. And modifiers to the game. The enemies can be more difficult. You can get bigger rewards and shit like
that. The Resident Evil ones are a classic for it because it's like, hey, that bazooka that you only had for the last 15 minutes, you can go through the very beginning and just mow every cunt down.
And those games are very built around it.
Yeah.
A longer game like this, it's not something I dabble in that often. I think Seven had one as well.
Right.
I might be wrong, but I think when I was reading about this, it said that.
The last one was, you know, you got to the end and it's kind of open worldy and there was still so much stuff to do and clean up.
Yeah.
That it was like after the credits rolled and you'd finished the story, it just kind of drops you back in and it's like, hey, you can keep poking around the town and go, you know, I don't remember getting an option to like restart the story, but it was like, hey, you can go do all these little side stuff that you missed and,
something that gets added in a patch too. Months later, they're like, it's the New Game Plus patch. I'm like, cool, man.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah,
Give me some more Rock Band DLC.
I mean, everything that they've said about this game is that it's going to be massive. There's that quote from someone who worked on it that's something to the effect of, if you play all of this, you will get sick.
Yeah.
He said some quote like that.
He said, hide your kids, hide your wife, something like that.
It does seem weird on paper, but
it's one of those classic video games trying it on thing where, like, you know, early 2010s, it was the online pass. It's the horse armor. It's the what? It's the 3 days early access.
The Yakuza games, if you look them up on any online store, they've all got like, here's a $5 costume pack and you have your classes, which are your jobs. Because there's 3, there's the standard version, there's the, I don't know, the special edition and then the deluxe edition. And the one in the middle is just like you get access to two different job types. And
right.
then the ultra deluxe one is like,
yeah.
I love the soundtrack.
Yeah. I know. It's every game has them now. Almost literally every game
yep.
has these different
Or they're
versions.
Like, yeah, you get it. You unlock it 2 days early.
Tekken 8, I was umming and ahhing in between, like, well, I'll probably get the season pass one day.
Like a Dragon did, sorry, Yakuza colon Like a Dragon, the previous game, definitely did have, yeah, New Game Plus just packed in.
Yeah.
Premium Adventure was the thing where you just continue and you knock off all the mini games and shit. But yeah, there was just New Game Plus as well part of the retail price.
It's just another thing of, you know, a money man going like, what can we shift around?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem weird, but at the same time, it just seems like there is so much in the base game of this anyway that it's like, you know, you don't have to do it.
And it's a type of thing where like, if you don't like to practice, then don't get it.
Yeah.
And they will get the message.
I've been trying to knock off Gaiden
mm-hmm.
in advance of this coming out. I've been putting some hours into that on my early call, but what I think will end up being my most fuckheaded purchase of 2024.
Now, hold on. This can't be right because 2023, you made one or two fuckheaded purchases where, because I remember, like, you bought the Analog Pocket, which is a great thing.
Yeah. Analog Pocket, I have not regretted for
a second. There are cheaper equivalents available that aren't as high quality, so I understand making the jump in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you get one? Get a good one?
Yeah. Then you also, you know, you bought a Steam Deck, which you've got a computer.
Yeah.
Do you need a second
you've got
computer?
Getting this from you of all people.
I'm doing this in full kayfabe right now. This is in character.
Welcome to my glass house. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm playing the role of the audience.
Yeah, this is me being the everyman. I called up my friend who's made fun of me for having bought three Switches in the past. I was like, Tommy now has technically more Switches than me. And they're like, oh, yeah? Are you going to get this same thing later? I was like, well. Anyway, so you want to try and
well, I've only got two now. I sold the OLED. Well, this is the same thing as buying the OLED. The OLED is two. Yes. I bought an OLED Steam Deck.
Yeah, that's the thing. Surely you can't have made a more fuckheaded purchase than a Steam Deck. Steam Deck OLED, baby.
No, I tell you what, it truly is like the existence of the Switch OLED and just knowing what a bump up, if you're playing a lot of handheld stuff, what a bump up in quality that was. Once that got announced, I was like, I know I'm going to want to do this at some point. And it was in advance of, so yeah, playing a bit of Gaiden on my OG Steam Deck and it running really well.
Yeah.
And Infinite Wealth is the same engine.
It's
Steam Deck verified already. Yeah. Yes. I know I'm going to put a ton of time into that in handheld. Same with Persona 3 Reload coming up. I was like, yeah, you know what? If ever there was the time to get a better screen, it's now, baby.
This is me talking now.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous and I fully understand.
Yeah.
This is a matter of means, not of wants.
By the way, I am not owning two Steam Decks. I've upgraded my existing one.
I've thought about that too.
Having two in the house is ludicrous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely selling it. But like,
you can't use two handhelds at once.
And that only one.
Can't you?
Better battery as well.
Battery. Immediately it's like, yeah, again, it's like...
You bought it at an unlucky time.
Yeah, you're hovering over the button and you're like, and then you open it up and it's like, this looks better. The fan on the other one was, if you were playing a, you know, labor-intensive game, was so loud. The fan is softer. The battery life is like immediately noticeably better if you're playing something like, Yakuza or Baldur's Gate.
This like Kogan or some shit from here?
Oh, it was Kogan,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, yeah. They're real weird to get here. Valve still is all pissy about.
Weird. But the cool thing
is, made them do some Steam, like our government was responsible for them having to change the way Steam pricing structures worked the return policies or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So they fucking, they're done with Australia.
Yeah.
It is cool. Like generally, when you, having now done this twice and bought them from different places, anywhere that'll ship it to Australia, you know, they'll throw in a little PowerPoint adapter, which is a nice little touch.
Yep.
I saw a couple of bad reviews of it on Kogan and I was like, oh, maybe this is a bad console. And they're all like, Oh, yeah, I'm in Australia and I ordered this and they sent me a European power converter.
There are so many bad reviews as well you get that are like, this is a bad review for Australia Post. This is nothing.
Yeah. It's like, that's nothing to do with the Steam Deck.
Yeah. It's like when you see those recipes and the comments are like, I exchanged sugar for salt and it didn't taste as good.
Yeah, I cooked this with pumpkin instead of cereal. Like, I wish I could... do the gymnastics in my head to do the. If I had never bought the PSVR,
yeah,
which I'm going to play Resident Evil pretty damn soon.
Yeah, it's coming.
Then I might have done this.
It and the main thing of it too was like these two massive JRPGs coming up that I'm going to want to. I got a little bit of travel coming up. I'm going to want to. I just was like, yeah, you know what? It's for the battery life alone. It's worth it.
And that thing looks awesome. Like I've heard nothing but rave reviews of that screen. The whole thing is just a flat out upgrade.
Yeah.
You know what they say, once you've had OLED, you
stay that way.
Never go fuck. Once you've had OLED, you never go.
Let's let him keep doing
it.
He's gotta learn sometimes.
He started.
Let the magpie keep swooping him because like Mom? Unless he fights off the magpie himself, he's gonna expect us to
fight every battle for him.
Just pretend to look in the Melways. Pretend to look in the Melways.
I've found a good ending for it, but I'm not gonna say
he has to pecking my eyes out.
You know what? Look up adoption centers in the Melways, see if we can find it. Yeah. Good for you, man. I genuinely am like you're living the life I want.
I really am.
Yeah. You're where I want to be.
I don't like handheld, so I don't feel that jealous. You know what? Got my play date. Haven't touched it.
Fair enough.
And I immediately, and it's stupid because we knew this the whole time. I think because I just got mine so late, I was like...
You missed the wave.
I still had to wait for all the fucking seasons to release... It would be nice at this point if they let you just go hit the trigger. I already played these three games when Tommy got his.
By the way, they've added an online shop to that, like being a lot more. You were able to really easily sideload stuff, but now and if you're on their email list, they'll send you they're doing a really good job of like spotlighting the stuff that people have made.
I looked up yesterday whether that stereo dock is still coming out.
Yeah,
and their Twitter said it's still in development, which
is weird,
monumentally crazy.
Yeah. I pick mine up from time to time, and it's just a neat little thing to have on the desk. There's nothing on it that I'm like really sinking hours and hours and hours into, but it's cool.
Well, your Steam Deck OLED. Speaking of like kind of minor but still significant upgrades, I've played a bunch of The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered.
Oh, yeah. No Return?
I've been playing some of the No Return thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $15 in Australia if you've got the original.
Mm-hmm.
You get the PS5 version. You've got to do the stupid thing where you go into your saved games in the download section or whatever and manually download the PS4 save and whatever.
Right.
And then attach it. But then it carries over. It looks technically nicer, but it's one of those things where, like, you're looking at this remastered version of the game that was the best game, best-looking game that had ever come out at the time, and you're like, oh, this looks older now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it still looks good. You've still got the main game there and everything, and they've added behind-the-scenes things and a bunch of little extras and stuff. And then, the main meat of it is this no-return mode, which is a roguelike thing that uses The Last of Us combat. It is very weird. It is pretty fun, but it's just such an odd thing where, so like you have Ellie and Abby to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
As you play through runs of this game, and they're each distinct runs where you don't carry over any like equipment between them, but you are unlocking sort of achievements and goals. And so like when you've beaten one as Abby, it unlocks Dina and so on.
Okay.
And they do this challenge of like kill three people in one run with a Molotov cocktail and you'll get a costume and all that sort of thing. There's
not like abilities.
There's like it's less of that, more that like the different characters have different starting loadouts.
Oh, sure.
This is gonna be in the TV show.
There'll be like one mini episode in the middle where they're like, and now delete that episode.
Left Behind ended up being an episode. Oh, if you're watching season two, and it's like, what the fuck's going on?
There's zero story in this.
Right.
And if anything, there's like negative story.
If they did it like those paintball episodes of Community.
Right. It's kind of like that for Last of Us.
Dream sequence.
It's really weird. You're going through like a Star Fox layout sort of branching paths run
where
you do like six levels and a boss, something like that.
And it's like different sort of like location types or like locations.
So each one will be like a little Polaroid on a corkboard that's like
Quackshot.
This place, like Quackshot, the most innovative overworld view game of all time.
Yeah.
Do you know, genuinely, when I first got my first Steam Deck, fuck, what a sentence. One of the first
one
of the first things I did genuinely was load Quackshot onto it. Wow. Nice. I never played Quackshot when I was a kid. I remember seeing it at the video store and being like, I want to know what the fuck is going on in this game.
I reckon that magpie pecked this cunt's brain out.
Quackshot on that, Wario on the...
It's great.
Yeah.
Dude, it's the way to live.
I'm old. I don't want to play fucking Pal World.
His newfangled fucking...
So, you go through and it'll be like, this one is... X location, this one is Jackson, and this one is this other place.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have like little mods on them, maybe, where it'll be like any melee attack also has a fire element to it. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that that will kind of randomly change throughout. And maybe you'll have a helper, mm-hmm. like Dina will be in this one with you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there will be a different type of A enemy. So it'll be either the WLF or it'll be the whatever,
mm-hmm.
The zombies. Or and also a different like scenario. So assault is like you're in and waves of enemies will come through and you've got to eliminate them, but they don't know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's one called like hunted, where it'll be a set amount of time, but they all know where you are for the whole time.
Oh, right? Okay.
Stuff like that. And then at the end you fight a boss that's a rotating roster of like bosses from the game.
Right.
Like the big bloater from the arcade and so on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until you've done them all and then it'll be random. And it's really weird because, like, so for example, in the assault mode, you'll, like, if you're looking at them, see these guys just pop into the world. It's very, it's very arcadey and not trying to be
immersive
at all.
Yeah.
Right.
But then all the AI of the enemies is the same. So they'll still be doing that stuff. When you shoot one, they'll go, like, no, Lisa, or whatever.
Right.
Which is really odd for this, like,
this, yeah.
It you feels know what, strange.
Unreal. Yeah.
You know what they you know what would have been cool if they'd done? You know how like so many video games have like a zombie mode that they release? That should have been their thing for Last of Us 2. They go, here's a non-zombie mode.
Mm. Sure.
So you're just walking around the world, but nothing happens.
Everyone's fine.
Nothing's happened yet.
You go to IKEA or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like a walking sim where you just walk through the city and it's all still...
Well, that's kind of like... So there's some like cut levels where they'll have like some commentary and stuff of like behind the scenes development stuff. It's all very... this is a video game and we'd be in a video game about it. Like, none of it is extra story stuff, which is what is so great about those games.
Right.
But the combat and the gameplay is also good and it's, like, fun to have an excuse to do a bit more of that because especially without the tension that the game built so well, you can fuck around a bit more happily.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Because, like, the original game did have as well, you could unlock all of these, like, visual filters and cheats, essentially, for
there
all this stuff.
There was New Game Plus for... that as well, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And like, yes, I haven't got this yet. I'm not like I probably will. I love the game, but
you
I
did
also,
replay it semi recently.
Yeah,
already.
I just replayed it, and I think in the replay of it, I was able to enjoy it without the tension. You know, I knew what was coming up. I wasn't as terrified and tense.
I've done a bit of a what I wish more games did, which the Naughty Dog have always done pretty well, is the. You can just hop into a chapter. Like once you've finished it, you're like,
yeah
I want to, you know, I remember liking this bit. I just want to do this bit again. I don't need to play the whole thing again. I wish you could do that in more games. Just go back and pick a favorite level
it's
or bit.
It's really well done too because you can go to every like Seattle Day 1, Seattle Day 2, but then also every encounter is and all that stuff is cool. And I think I'm going to play through it again, just skipping cutscenes and playing it like an action game.
It is... I think it's underrated how fun it is to just physically play.
It's very well made, and this is more of that element of it, which is cool. It's got lots of different difficulty settings from like very light up to grounded, which call them normal things, but like there's the permanent death modes or whatever.
Well, the ones in Doom, easy mode was like, I'm a little bitch or whatever.
Yeah, can I play daddy or whatever?
Can I play daddy?
And then so in between each of those levels on the no return thing, you're going back to like this little room that's your base, where you get a little chest with more currency in it. There's a weapons chest that has like a randomly generated set of things you can buy. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's blueprints to build mines, or there's a shotgun you can buy.
Right.
And you can upgrade those weapons. Very, you know, tried and true territory. Mm-hmm. But it is a fun game with well done mechanics, fun combat, great controls, and it's cool to play more of that, and it's like a decent price for it.
Yeah
You know,
yeah, it is odd to, yeah, because you played Valhalla like what, last week, the week before?
That is better,
and that's got story stuff. It And I guess you also felt it was an improvement on the base game.
To some extent, or at least it's like, oh, no, this is good.
Yeah.
You know, and like the...
And it was free.
You've got the benefit in that of doing a roguelike mode, because that world has magic in it.
Yeah,
it's a little simpler or whatever, you know. But it would have been cool. I would have preferred personally an actual DLC for Last of Us, like Left Behind was. But obviously that is a different type of work.
Yeah.
And this does feel like stuff they maybe had for that factions game, I guess.
Yeah. Plus, you know, it like giving the main game the visual overhaul and feeling like, well, we got to charge something for that. And
it's
like, yeah, we
got
these assets that we started
too.
Working right. on. Like, we'll just put that into...
They're just on that overhaul tip.
Yeah.
They're doing it just so much to every game.
They've done
ever
it to all of them. And like this one is like, it's fine. It is a higher resolution and it runs smooth, but like, it's not that different. It still looks like a PS4 game to me. But a really good looking one.
Yeah.
It's cool what they've got, and like the extent of what they've done to this isn't anywhere near what that factions game would have been. There's not anything really that new here. It's using the old stuff in a sort of clever way to get a bit more life out of it. But it's cool if you like playing The Last of Us.
Yeah, cool.
If you like playing fucking Hollow Knight, Metroid, Castlevania.
Oh yeah.
Then you will probably like Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown too, which we talked about a bit last week. But I stormed through that bastard and finished it off. It was like about 20 hours or something, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It's I kind of echo a lot of what you guys were saying about it. Like, I think it plays really well. I think the combat is more interesting than I expected.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
definitely.
There's a bit more to it of like, you're having to think about when you're dodging and where you're attacking and like the types of attacks you're doing. You've got these like not complex, but like not nothing kind of combos that you can do with a lot of verticality to them as well.
Yeah.
Whipping people into the air and doing stuff up there and juggling them.
It's
matters.
2D Spider-Man combat.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
The dodging, the sliding under people.
Sliding under people feels good.
Hitting it from the back.
It's a well-designed world. Like, the way everything connects together and the secrets you can go find are good for this type of, like, Metroidvania game.
A little platform that you can't reach. And love you it. Go, you son of a bitch. I'll be back. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, there's the abilities that you get to do that those things are interesting, too. Like, there's some cool ideas for those that I don't feel like I've seen done exactly like this in other similar games, which is cool.
Yeah, and the stuff in the background, too, like the bits where there's, like, that statue that you find that's in the background that's huge that's, like, fallen and then frozen in time.
Yeah.
That kind of design stuff is pretty cool.
It's a weird mix of like good ideas and some interesting, like there's one area that I don't want to like say what it is, that is one of the coolest things I've seen in a game like this, where it's just like, oh, that's such a cool idea that you've done well.
Persia?
Yeah. It's in there.
Yeah.
It's in Persia.
It is.
It's on the edge of Persia, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I won't say more. Mm. I've said too much. I don't like the voice acting or the story.
Yeah.
Really.
I think I have had no like compunction to play this since the demo, and it's that stuff. And the look, I just don't like the look. I don't think the visual design is to my taste at all.
Yeah, I thought it was fine, but a lot of the broader stuff about it is fine. And then when you're looking at any individual element too much, you're like,
It's weirdly cheap looking.
Yeah.
It is extremely of a budget game.
Yeah.
And like that comes through in, there's quite a lot of buggy stuff in here too.
Oh yeah.
Including like a side quest that completely broke and I couldn't finish, that took away my impulse to try and do the 100% stuff.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
the road I was on. But fuck that if I can't, if I physically cannot do it.
Yeah.
It weirdly feels more like a, as if they haven't made a Prince of Persia game in 20, like what we're talking about with Power World, as if like a separate developer has gone, all right, let's make our own Prince of Persia. Right. You know, like.
It is the best Xbox Live Arcade game of 2011.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
It is a different developer, right? Like, it's not the main.
Well, it's the Rayman people, which they didn't make the original ones.
That's true, yeah. So it's obviously licensed.
Yeah, it has similar, it has ties to like if you're doing the sort of dash next to a wall that he could touch with his feet, your feet will run along that wall in Sands of Time and shit, which is cool. There's touches like that. You don't like, it's not doing the time mechanic stuff as much, but that it does tie into it.
Yep.
Yeah. But I think it's a really solid Metroidvania that if you've ever liked one of them, you'll have a really good time with this.
Right. It's a good one. I think you could wait a bit because it needs a bit more touching up work. Like there was a weird amount of like one of the bosses like did a dash attack at me and then got himself under the floor.
Oh.
And so I was just fucking stuck there with him like swinging at the basement.
Right.
And me unable
wait for
to
a couple
touch
of
him.
Patches.
Maybe give it a bit of breathing room. And like, yeah, it is a good game that is I think it surprised people and so there's a lot of very positive feedback about it.
I think
it
people
at the
have
moment.
Just written it off and it's like, oh, it's actually good. Yeah. It feels good to play.
But it's not like amazing. But I did enjoy my 20 hours that I immediately played of it. So that's got to say something about either me or the game.
Well, that's going to do us for this week on Filthy Casuals. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
You can go to filthycasuals.com.au and you can find links therein to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Have a watch of us playing through the beginnings of Pal World. Yep. There's also a couple of videos of us playing Lethal Company.
Yeah, people, I think we'll give that another go at some point. That was very fun. Links to buy tickets to our shows, coming up.
Yeah.
Are also there on filthycasuals.com.au.
Sundays in April. At the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that maybe there's another one that's not during the festival.
That. It's the first three Sundays of April, I'm pretty sure.
It is.
That'll sort you out.
Yeah.
Come check that out. Get on the Patreon. If you like getting the show for free and you want to support us, that's a way that you can do it. And,
absolutely.
In exchange for that, we reward you with a episode of a show every week.
That's right.
Yeah.
I got some movies to talk about this week.
I got some shows.
I got some recies.
We've got all types of things that people watch.
Yeah.
And you got a new pod that people might want to check out as well, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Should I put a promo for that at the start of this, maybe?
Sure.
But also, if you skipped the start of the episode, me and my sister Rosie are doing a Survivor Australia podcast just for that season. It'll be weekly and we'll be talking about that. We're both big, big super fans of that. If you like Survivor, you'll know there's so much to talk about, so much strategy to pick apart.
If you don't like Survivor, you'll be like, will that fill a podcast?
Oh, yes. We'll have to cut them down, if anything. That's called Tribe Check. It's like Vibe Check, but for tribes.
Shit.
And that's on all good podcast platforms.
Nice. Guys.
Available in all good bookstores.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
This episode belongs in a museum. Again, let me do it. That was perfect.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.